Hello, everybody. Welcome in for the Rocky Top Roundtable. It is the regular season finale, Tennessee at Vanderbilt, coming up on Saturday. And, guys, you look at this matchup. This is going to be Vanderbilt's Super Bowl. They've got bowl eligible early in the year. Now, they've not won as many games the last couple of weeks, but they're still playing for something, trying to knock off Tennessee and eliminate Tennessee from the college football playoff.
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, this is what you want the last regular season of the game to be. It's meaningful. And in Vanderbilt's case, it's an opportunity to knock Tennessee out. In Tennessee's case, Rob, it's a chance to go to the playoffs. This is when you start out working out in January, this is what you're looking for, is a game that counts at the end, and that's what Tennessee has.
And, you know, for all the ups and downs this season has had, losing at Arkansas, you know, the buildup of the Georgia game, if you'd have told any Tennessee fan back in August that, you know, we're going to go through all this and you're going to get to the end of November and all you got to do is beat Vanderbilt to get to the playoff, everybody takes that.
Yeah.
And here we are.
To Austin's point, though, I mean, it would make Vanderbilt's season to play spoiler just to knock off Tennessee, just to keep Tennessee from the ranks of the college football playoff. I mean, I think it's going to be a wild environment. There's going to be more orange, obviously, in Nashville, but this is certainly not just your cupcake at the end of the season.
I do think playing that game early in the day, not that Vanderbilt's some raucous night atmosphere, but I just think just playing it early in the day, not having to sit around all day, does help. Nico Iamaleava, last week started slow.
Yeah, he didn't like the early start last week. It didn't go well for him.
but he kind of got going there in the second quarter. It was, what, 14 of 16 or whatever it was, for 180 yards in the second quarter. How do they get him going early this week?
Well, I think it's, you know, he didn't get himself going because the first play is a huge play if he hits Squirrel White in stride. Then after that, it felt like they were trying to be really pretty, Eric, and try to get vertical and all kinds of shots. I think you got to look more at that Georgia plan. This is not a beauty contest. A week ago, it was a beauty contest. You had to win big. You wanted to show everybody, you know, at the bottom of the ticker, you were up big early in that game. This is just win and you're in. So I think it's a little bit more of the Georgia plan for him this week. Get him some easy stuff and get him going that way. That would be what I would do. We'll see what Tennessee does. They may feel like there's a couple of windows they can attack differently. But I think it's a little bit more of the tight end, a little bit more rhythm stuff early like we saw in Athens.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. It felt like last week it was, okay, we know the committee's not watching every snap of this football game because it's Tennessee-UTEP, but they're going to see the highlights. You want to see those splash plays, that down-the-field passing. And if he can get himself going by hitting that slant early on, then who knows what would happen. But kind of bringing the game in, the quick game, using the tight ends, getting Dylan Sampson, the running backs involved with the passing game, I really like that. I thought that was a good adjustment there for Tennessee to kind of get him going. And, you know, obviously the tempo followed that as well.
I'll tell you, Rob, what I'd like to see him do is run him early. Have a design run. Like, you know, I think Chris is going to roll the tape here. He had a design run the other day. I thought it was a really nice play. When they throw those wrinkles in, a designed run, I think, one, it gets him into the flow of the game, and I just think that it helps out a guy like Dylan Sampson.
Well, I don't have the numbers in front of me, but it seems like it gets his juices flowing. I mean, we have a couple examples of that where, you know, he snaps off a nice run, and, you know, I don't know. I'm not saying that's what jump-started him in the second quarter the other day, but that run was part of that second quarter explosion.
It certainly jump-started him against Alabama.
Yeah, that's one of them. And it just seems, you know, early in the season, it felt like they were kind of handling him with kid gloves. And I'm with you, AP. I think he's, when he gets out there and, you know, gets involved, maybe takes a hit, lowers his shoulder, just seems like he, you know, it gets him pumping.
Well, this is an everything on the table game.
Yeah,
I mean,
100%.
All chips are in. I mean, you got to play. Now, here's what I don't know about some of the zone read stuff. Does he have the pull option on all of those, or some of those that you have no pull option on? I don't know what all his rules are there, but I agree with you that when he gets physical, the game seems to play a bit better. And I understand why they've been cautious with him, but I think you're right. I mean, whatever it's got to do to get him going, you got to get him going.
I agree. You know, I just feel like that's, you know, to help Dylan Sampson out. Again, Sampson just continues to do what he's done all year.
I don't know if Dylan needs any help. I mean, the guy leads the SEC in rushing, leads them in carries.
Maybe not as much pressure on just Dylan Sampson.
Yeah, I mean, like, it feels like if he doesn't, like, when they start slow, it's feel like everybody's looking for Dylan. It's kind of like last year, everybody would look around for Dalton Kinect to make a play. Yeah. They're looking around for Dylan Sampson to make a big run or make a play. When Tennessee's not in a groove early. So I think just getting Nico off to a hot start by using his legs to kind of, you know, kind of get him into the flow of things, I think helps. Defensively, Tennessee got after UTEP. That's not a shock, right? UTEP's not very good. But at the same time, like, it was good to see Tennessee be so disruptive, you know.
Yeah, I mean, again, I mean, that there's not a whole lot. People have asked them, did the offense get in rhythm? Did they fix this? I mean, listen, man, those two teams could play 25 times. Tennessee's not losing any of them. If you hold a draft, you're not drafting any UTEP players. Okay, you're taking the Tennessee roster from top to bottom all the way through. But Tennessee went out and they executed. I do think there's some carryover with some of the shifts and motions. I think Tennessee's challenge this week, for me, Rob, is all about their eye discipline and understanding rush lanes and gap integrity because of what the quarterback at Vanderbilt does in terms of just kind of playing backyard football.
Yeah, as long as their offensive numbers are not good, but they know who they are. They don't try to do too much. They take care of the football. They're methodical. Even though they don't move the ball much through their air, they do a pretty good job of staying on the field and moving the chains. And that's what AP is talking about being disruptive. I think that's key this week because if you can, you know, blow up a couple plays, get Vanderbilt in, you know, second 11, third 9, that's not an offense that recovers from that.
Diego Pavia is going to stress Tennessee's linebackers in this game. He leads Vanderbilt in rushing attempts, rushing yards, net rushing, rushing touchdowns. The tight end, I mean, it's a whole New Mexico State flair with the coordinator, the tight end, and the quarterback. Eli Stovers easily leads the receiving game, and they'll move him out. They'll move him in a little bit. This is going to be a stressful game for the Tennessee linebackers. They've got to run well. They've got to, you know, play assignment football. They got to go make some tackles because we know that Pavia, though he's not 100%, and I'll be intrigued to see, he's not going to be 100% until after the season's over. They ran Nate Johnson in there a little bit last game against LSU. I think Pavia is going to play the majority of it, obviously, but they have got to play assignment football, and that goes up front as well, not getting so upfield in the rush and making sure you keep contained.
Yeah, to his point about injury, you look at it, in that stretch against Alabama and Kentucky, where they were the catch meow, he completed 80% of his throws. Since then, he's about a 52, 53% passer. And so he's struggling with the passing game. They're not moving the ball through the air there. They are playing a little bit more ground and pound and methodical that way. Tennessee's got to win early downs, force them to throw it a bit, and see what can happen there. They cannot let them be in second and four, you know, or second and six and third and three, because that's exactly where Vanderbilt's supposed
and
to come.
And don't give them anything cheap like LSU did to start the game.
Yeah, double move.
You know,
yeah.
Double move, you know, get out of sorts, and all of a sudden it's 7-0. Also, as I told Rob when we were talking in the parking lot before we taped this thing, I think, you know, the ability just to get off the field. You know, don't let them, even if they're not, even if you're holding them to no points, you know, if they're able to pick up two or three first downs and milk the clock and drain the clock, that's what they want to do. Get off the field on third down, that's where Tennessee can really start to cook.
No doubt.
In my opinion, in this game. I think that's really an important hidden deal. Lastly, Tennessee, for a team that's on the fifth of five straight games, 12th game of the year, on the whole, pretty healthy.
Yeah, I mean, I think James Pierce is going to be fine. Omar Norman Lott's going to be fine. I mean, I don't think there's any excuses for Tennessee going into this game from a health standpoint. I mean, Dylan Sampson's beat and banged up, but that doesn't matter to him. He's going to show up and play. So, I mean, I think again, we talked about it right off the top here. If you'd have said in January, you're going to be a healthy football team. Everybody that you need, that you played with all year, for the most part, is going to be available, okay? And you're going to go to Nashville, and you win, and you're in the college football playoff. That is the scenario. Not only Tennessee fans, everybody in the building would have taken that scenario and run with it, and that's exactly where Tennessee finds itself.
100%. I mean, and it's going to be – we've all been there. It's, you know, Vanderbilt's had a nice year. I mean, I don't want to take anything away from them, but it's going to be – it's not going to be a true road game. I mean, there's going to be a lot of orange in that building. And, you know, it's just not a Vanderbilt team that's built – I don't want to say to score, like, if Tennessee can score 20, ball game, I'll be stunned.
Going back to what Rob said earlier about the offensive numbers not looking all that impressive, and he's right. What Vanderbilt does do, though, is they protect the football, they protect their quarterback. Now, he makes the offensive line right a lot of the times, but 6 turnovers in 11 games. So they do the, as Josh Hoppe would say, the little things at a high volume, right? Tennessee's defense got to do that as well, but again, winning your end against Vanderbilt and what is going to be a stadium filled with a whole lot more orange than black, can't ask for anything more.
And the best news for Tennessee or Tennessee fans or any of us, it's nobody's fault if you lose Saturday and you don't get in the college football playoff but yourselves.
Yeah,
like,
right.
There's no, well, the committee robbed us, none of that. You go take care of business and you're headed off to the CFP. For Eric Kane, Rob Lewis, and Brett Hubbs, I'm Austin Price.